Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Professor Dr. Hervik Boretsky, a physicist and went around the world as a Rotarian. It's called the Rotarian Circumnavigation 2010-2013. And one of the listeners are probably thinking, when you take off for 3 years, how do you deal with your family? Are you married? You have a family? How do you deal with the situation with your family in terms of a trip like this?
Sure, that's a problem. I have a family. I have a wife. She's a school teacher, and she doesn't like sailing too much. She only joined me for the duration of 1 month, going from Cherbourg in France to Cadiz in Spain. And she doesn't like to fly more than 4 hours neither, so she can't come over here. And she doesn't like the heat. I enjoy the heat on my old bones. And so I have two children. The daughter, they both are around 35, so they're on their own. And they are a school teacher, and my son is a Lutheran priest in Nuremberg with the famous Christkindl market there. And I have a 90-year-old mother who wants to see her only child from time to time as well. So I fly home every 2 or 3 months for the duration of a month. And I still have academic children, that is, I have PhD and diploma students who want to see their professors from time to time and discuss the results of their work. So every 2 or 3 months I fly home for roughly
a month. And I see you have about 3 laptops here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you keep in touch with your students?
Absolutely.
Almost on a daily.
Iridium telephone. That's a satellite telephone where we exchange emails. And the other and the program which runs its email runs only under Windows XP. And other programs run only under Windows 7. And that's the other notebook.
Okay.
And then Sailor very often uses Skype on land in a Wi-Fi environment. And so there I have a little netbook, which is easier to carry than the big laptops.
Right,
which
you need go a in and get a Wi-Fi area, et cetera.
So that's why there are three.
But then one of the great things, I mean, even in a boat like this, you're able to completely be in contact with Germany, with the family, with your students, and keep tabs of it.
It's
tremendous.
People are not aware that the Iridium satellite really very reasonably priced, that is. For sure, you have to pay roughly $1,200 US dollars for the equipment, but the minute is just 1.2 US dollars, which is, when you consider roaming fees from Puerto Rico, is much less than you would pay with your normal telephone.
Right.
And this Iridium telephone really goes worldwide, on high seas, on the poles, everywhere. And the handheld is not so much larger than a normal mobile telephone, and so that's really very nice.
Tremendous.
We use it even from here, because the roaming is more expensive than going to the satellites to 720 kilometers up there, go to the next satellite, and then back down in a earthbound station. And it's nice. It works fine, no problem.
It's a great advantage over the old days,
where
you would have been out of contact for a while. And of course, you made me nostalgic mentioning the Christmas market in Nuremberg. That's we have gone over 3 years to Bavaria, which is one of our favorite places in the world.
That's nice.
And the Christmas market is I was joking with Hervik that his wife doesn't like to sail, mine, you know, it's also doesn't like the ocean, doesn't like the beach,
it's
doesn't
too
like
shaky.
And I have a Boston whaler, and she has refused to get on except once over 15 years, and that's because she didn't trust me with my grandchild. I had to say I couldn't go fast. I had to be only the lagoon and this and that. So I can empathize with you, but of course then we have to give in to each other. She said, "This is your dream. I'll let you go." And then I do the same thing. I take her to the Christmas markets. I let her see the crafts and all the beautiful Christmas ornaments. And of course,
it's
I take advantage of the Glühwein and the sausages. And so it's not quite as bad as all that for me. But what a great experience. And in that regard. So that's the family. You basically then handle it with about 10 trips back. You'll have another 11th trip back to Germany, and they were scheduled in as part of your German logistic, very carefully organized, as Germans tend to be. So you've got that taken care of. In terms of you mentioned a couple of things that happened, but. Any other, you know, you mentioned Patagonia, but any other moments that you said, wow, and you just kind of stood there, you know, with your mouth open and your eyes just said, this is incredible, this is amazing, this day is worth this whole trip. Is there any other moment that you can think of that was sort of like that, similar to Patagonia, that you were really amazed?
Yeah, not amazed, but it was a strange and touching moment when we were leaving Jakarta, Indonesia, going south to Mauritius, and then you go after 100 miles or so, you sail over a place which was the part of the center of a big catastrophe, the Krakatau, the volcano which erupted 150 right. years ago. And it's really a strange feeling when you sail over an ocean where there's nothing now, but you know that there were 20 cubic kilometer of stones exploding in this volcano and thrown into the atmosphere. And then you see 2 miles away a volcano smoking, which started to come out of the seafloor just 150 years ago, the young Krakatau. And it makes you very humble as a human when you see what is 10 kilometers underneath all the fire in the earth,
right.
which is not tamed at all. And yeah, so there yeah. might be a similar event here. The Caribbean is not too safe, Montserrat place neither. Yeah. And so it's a strange feeling. And when you, in particular, when you see in your nautical map on the paper chart a warning sign, and then you investigate what does the warning sign means, and it says volcanic activities on the seafloor.
Yeah.
And this is a strange feeling. So you inform the crew, shall we go in this area? Are you afraid that a volcano blows you up into the atmosphere?
Right, right.
It's a strange feeling.
Yeah, you say the chances are, you know, one in a million, and let's go for it. Yeah.
But it, see, the one in a million is the same if you go to a 1 million person city and dial a telephone number blindly and expect to get a friend where you have forgotten your telephone number. And you say the chance is one in a million, who cares? But if you hit the right number, if this telephone box blows up because there's an explosive in there, you reconsider the thing.
Right, right. You know, when you, with that story, I can think of two things that sort of come to mind. I remember in Hawaii, there's volcanic activity, and then they have these channels that come from the island, from the island out to the ocean, a couple of miles away, and then out in the middle of the ocean, there's this flame coming out, and the cruise ships. It'll stop, and they do a complete 360 degrees, and you watch this this flame coming out of the ocean, and that's where, you know, another island starts developing.
Yeah.
And I think that
it's a strange feeling.
A strange feeling, and similar to that, it's an area I'd ask you, and you didn't go to Galapagos, but the Galapagos have islands that are relatively new, when they don't have any vegetation whatsoever, and then they have some that are just starting some vegetation, and then you see within this three, four, five mile diameter of different islands, all the different stages of how an island is developed, and I think that's what we're talking about. So, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. I'm with Professor Dr. Hervik, a physicist and a sailor, but now.
Yes.
So we'll be right back after this break.